The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM,
another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Oh, glad you've been with us as we're rolling along on a Tuesday morning after last night's Seattle's victory over the Minnesota Vikings. The Seahawks at 8-5 look really good. Look really good for a spot in the playoffs as they're ahead of Minnesota at 6-6-1. And we talked about this last hour. Carolina, Philadelphia, Washington, Giants even, if you want to go to 5-8, all can with some help get in. AFC, not so much. I mean, look, the Steelers at 7-5-1, holding on to the division lead. If they were to lose it to Baltimore, they would be have only right now a half-game lead over teams like Indianapolis and Miami and Tennessee, all at 7-6, including the Ravens at 7-6, who are breathing down their necks. Broncos at 6-7, losing to San Francisco. They're a game back, and there's a lot of work that has to be done there if they're going to make a run at the wild card race, which is only down to one team. One team is going to get in out of that bevy of teams, because Kansas City and the Chargers, one of those is winning the division. The other one is going to be the wild card. So everyone else that's not leading their division right now. And that's why the Steelers are in tough shape, because Pittsburgh losing to Oakland with tough games now against the Patriots coming up with, again, a defense that's becoming a sieve, a running game that's struggling without James Conner, and the Saints coming up again with a defense, especially a secondary that's a sieve. These are back-to-back games against two really good football teams that the Steelers are going to struggle to play to win. And if they were to lose even one of them and fall into that mix with the other teams in that division, or in that conference, I should say, in fighting for that final wild card spot, I don't like their chances. I don't like their chance. I like them to beat the Bengals at the end of the season, and that might be their saving grace. But if any one of these teams, like the Colts, who just beat Houston and have won six of their last seven, if they catch fire, if Tennessee starts playing well, the Steelers are going to struggle to get back into this if they don't win the division. Baltimore is breathing right down their necks. A team that was in at least my top five, I think Ron had him in the top five as well at one point in the season, now struggling after three straight losses and three very bad losses for Pittsburgh. SB Nation Radio, it's SB Nation AM.
Gifting Map is your map for great gifts. Head over to giftingmap.com today. Now, back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
A blue emu, lidocaine cream, and maximum arthritis cream. Both deep penetrating and odor-free, beat the pain two ways and live life. Blue emu, it works fast so you won't stink. Available at nationwide retailers. Hall of Fame, Baseball Hall of Fame, Lee Smith and Harold Baines. What? What's that all about? Who is the who's the committee that voted Harold Baines in? It wasn't the baseball writers, right? It was the Today's Game Committee or something like that. How many people get to vote for the Baseball Hall of Fame?
Is it a real vote?
Yeah.
No, I'm serious.
I don't understand this. I'm not getting this. Look, I guess Lee Smith is a good addition. At one time, he was the all-time saves leader. And yeah, right.
You can make an argument for that. I get that one.
What did Harold Baines do in his life? He wasn't a home run hitter. He didn't bat like 350 or anything crazy like that. He was just had a long, long career.
Six-time All-Star. He has over 2,800 hits.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Okay, there was a veterans committee in Major League Baseball that voted for the Hall of Fame. It was kind of secondary to the baseball writers. Then that is that's been gone, I guess, in Today's Game era is now a committee. It's 16 members on that committee. But
who are the other choices?
Yeah, I'm still not getting how you're getting Harold Baines in the Hall of Fame. Like, this is confusing to me. And I know the hot take is to find a reason why he should be in the Hall of Fame. I don't think you can.
Well, all we really need to do is just go back through his Twitter timeline.
Yeah, right? And then we'll eventually find something that will cough him up and expose him to the world. Baines played from 1980 until 2001, so that's an incredibly long career. Think about that for a second. That is pretty remarkable. Think about the 80s, like in baseball, and how nuts it was. And then all through the 90s and 21 years playing Major League Baseball. That's crazy.
All right, here you go. You ready?
Yeah.
Says Today's Game Era Committee is just one of four era's committees, along with modern baseball, golden days, and early baseball, that provide an avenue outside the Baseball Writers Association voting to make the Hall.
Okay.
Here are the other players that were on their list.
Okay.
I'm just going to name them off. You tell me if... you can make an argument that they're more deserving than Harold Baines. And now Harold Baines, 21-year career, has over 2,800 hits. That's going to happen when you have a 21-year career.
Right. You're just going to accumulate it through longevity.
Yeah, 1,600 of his hits were as a designated hitter. And I'm not saying he wasn't a good player.
Right. No, no, no.
He was definitely a good player.
We're talking Hall of Fame. All right, the parameters are Hall of Fame worthy, not... Did he have a nice career? He had a great career. It's a fine career.
All right.
But even he, let's be honest, even he was surprised he got voted into the Baseball Hall of Fame.
All right, here are some other names that are on that list. Albert Bell.
Okay. No.
Whether
they're not Hall of Fame or not. No. Oh, yeah, probably more than Bell. This is hard to do without like some sort of real statistical comparison.
Yeah, well, I'm just going off a namesake.
Because I just, sometimes I just think of a player and I go, I remember. But then the statistics prove otherwise.
Yeah. How about Joe Carter?
Yeah. Better than Baines.
I mean, he had, the second greatest home run ever in World Series history outside of Kirk Gibson.
It doesn't make a career, though, so.
Yeah. Will Clark. I mean, he was a serviceable first baseman.
I thought Will Clark was going into the Hall of Fame when I was younger.
Yeah.
He played for the Giants, and he was great for a while, and I thought he was going to be a Hall of Famer for sure, and then nothing.
Now, this guy, I lean more towards, and I'm not trying to be biased or anything. Oral Hershiser.
Yeah, I thought Oral Hershiser was...
That was another... I mean, he has 58 or 59 scoreless innings.
Why isn't Oral Hershiser in the Hall of Fame? I thought he was.
No. Nope.
I swear, if you had asked me if he was in the Hall of Fame, I said, oh, yes, of course. Why wouldn't he be?
Yeah, I guess not.
Davey Johnson should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. How about Charlie Manuel? Wasn't he the manager for the Phillies?
Manager of the Phillies. I don't know. Did he have one of those old-timey careers that I don't know about?
Probably.
Like way back in the day?
See, now here's the two names that I think I would have leaned more towards than Harold Baines. George Steinbrenner.
Of course.
I mean, how he's not in the Hall of Fame is...
The fact that he's not in the Hall of Fame is crazy.
Surprising.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I mean, but that guy, I mean, you're talking about somebody, you know, the Hall of Fame is impact on the game of baseball, right? Is there more owner that has had an impact on the game of baseball than George Steinbrenner?
Yes, and this is the argument that is prevalent when we talk about Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds and whatnot. Is it a museum that tells the history, even in a positive way, of the sport, or is it just a place where Steinbrenner? Remember, he got suspended a few times, you know, by the league and whatnot. Does that sort of hurt his chances? But no doubt, Steinbrenner led baseball into its current economic state. I mean, he burst through. Some people will say it was pretty bombastic in doing it, but nevertheless, I mean, he took his desire to make the Yankees a winner and all of the things that he did to sort of bring the economics up and the deals that he made and whatnot for the Yankees that helped the blueprint for other teams to do so, I think is very worthy of a Hall of Fame induction. I mean, and also, too, I mean, it's very hard to tell the history of baseball without his involvement, taking over the team in the 70s and the things that he's done, everything that he has done for baseball.
That's why, I mean, I'm surprised he's not in the Hall of Fame. And the final name on this list was Lou Piniella.
I don't think so. I don't think Lou Piniella.
No? Got a couple World Series wins as a manager. A
couple World Series. I'll have to look that up. I think he might have won. I don't know if he had a couple.
It's all the same number.
I know, right. I don't think he was a Hall of Fame player for the Yankees back in the day.
No.
But I think maybe as a manager. Yeah. I gotta dive into this with a baseball guy. Maybe I'll make a phone call or two this week. What list do they get to vote on? That is this the rejection of the baseball writers list?
That's what I was thinking. It's like, these are the guys who fell off.
And so then they say, here's your second or third chance. With whatever these committees?
Well, wasn't that what the senior committee used to be?
Yeah, right. I mean, because what would happen is you needed 75% of the ballots to get in, right? So what would happen is the problem that results in that is the way the Hall of Fame works from the writers is you get a list of candidates and then you vote for 10 players, right? And if you're on 75% of those ballots, you're in the Hall of Fame. The problem comes in is, let's say you're a really good baseball player, which you're kind of borderline, but you can make a real argument that it should be a Hall of Famer, but it could also go the other way. But you're not a terrible player at all, right? You're pretty good, and it would be reasonable that you'd be a Hall of Famer. Sometimes you get on ballots where it's filled with absolute no-brainers Hall of Famers, and then you're getting left out. And then the next year, you add more to that list, and whoops, now you're starting to slip. And what these committees were supposed to do was supposed to find the guys that slipped through the cracks, right? So that, you know, if you had a really good career and you deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, but just by luck, you ended up on the ballot and your percentages started to decline. You're only on the ballot for a certain amount of time, and then you're taken off. These committees were supposed to look back and say, you know what? We're going to vote some of these guys in that kind of missed out because the ballots were filled with surefire Hall of Famers, but these guys are worthy nonetheless. Let's reevaluate their careers. That's basically what that was supposed to happen. So I'm assuming that that's what these guys did with Baines and Smith inductions, is said, well, here's the list of guys we got, and Harold Baines is the best guy on it, and so is Lee Smith. There you go.
Yeah. Say, I'll put it in the context like this. Fred McGriff, who was one of the most dangerous hitters from the mid-90s, actually through the entire 90s. 493 career home runs, you know, seven shy of that magic number that seems to be an automatic, used to be, but I don't know how much anymore. He has been trending downwards ever since he first came onto the Hall of Fame list. He's been on this list 10 times, and he garnered 23.2% of the vote. He seems to be one of those guys who will fall through the cracks, not get elected by the baseball writers, but then get elected by one of these four other writers.
Committees, right.
Committees.
Yep.
Like, that's, to me, I think, you know, he will eventually be in the Hall of Fame. He's just not going to get in there with the baseball writers.
Yeah. It's the only problem I have, and again, listen, the Hall of Fame, the committees, do whatever you want. I mean, in the end, I'm not losing sleep over Harold Baines being in the Hall of Fame. But the problem is, what does this mean when there are similar statistical guys that you just go, no, really? Okay, what are we doing here? Like, all right, you know, like Baines had a long career. He accumulated a lot of numbers. There's going to be guys that are going to get those numbers without needing to play 21 years in the majors. Then what do you do then? Right? Is the bar down because Baines is in the Hall of Fame? And that becomes a problem, because now if you're lowering the bar, that means these committees are going to have to start going, okay, what about Rusty Staub, which is a name I've been seeing a lot lately that had similar kind of numbers, right? What about other guys that, you know, that you just know aren't Hall of Famers, but now we have to have a conversation about them because Baines is in the Hall of Fame?
Right.
That's the problem. That's the problem.
And then I'm just curious with these committees, because obviously the baseball writers will never do it, but with these committees, will we start to see steroid era players getting a little
off? Exactly. Exactly.
You know, you look at this list. I mean, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds, all shrouded in controversy with steroid use, and I don't think they're ever going to get voted in.
Yeah, I don't either. People ask me that all the time. I get that. You know, when we talk baseball, people say, "Do you think these guys, you know, those guys will get in?" And I said, like Bonds and Clemens, I could see. I can't see McGwire. Sosa.
Actually, I think I'm looking at the list. I think McGwire's already off the list.
Yeah, I think McGwire, I don't think was ever going to get in. But I think there is going to be a moment, and I don't know when that is, but I do think there's going to be a moment where these guys are all going to settle down and go, okay, you know what? We understand what they did. We understand the controversy, but you just can't have Barry Bonds out of this thing. You just can't have Roger Clemens out of this thing. I mean, McGwire and Sosa didn't really have Hall of Fame careers outside of hitting home runs,
right?
I don't think. And if you kind of strip that down, Clemens was a good player before the accusations. Bonds was a great player before the accusations. The accusations taint them, of course. Absolutely. And that's absolutely not to be overlooked. But I think there is going to be kind of a come to Jesus meeting where people go, you know what, let's figure out a way to get these guys in without, you know, without somehow they've got to be in.
It's right? Probably going to be through one of these committees.
Yeah, but you know what? I got to be honest with you. I said the same thing about Rose probably in the 90s. And here we are, 2018, and I'm still
waiting.
He's still not getting in. All right, 800-777-2907 is the telephone number. If you want to join us on the program, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio. As we continue to talk about the National Football League playoff picture coming up, we'll talk about that. But also next is one more NBA guy is kind of dipping his toes into the conspiracy waters. We'll tell you who and what he said next on SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. We're close, convenient, and known for our guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right. Fresh off winning the Sports Persons of the Year from Sports Illustrated, Steph Curry got himself involved in a little controversy. He was going on a podcast in which he basically acknowledged that he is buying into the theory that the United States never went to the moon. It was all a conspiracy. It is all fake. Curry, now here's the deal. People have analyzed the podcast. I didn't hear it, but they're saying he didn't sound like he was kidding, like joking around. That doesn't mean he wasn't kidding or joking around.
He better be kidding.
Better be kidding.
It's terrible. that reason alone should keep him off the Sports Illustrated Sports People of the Year or whatever.
No kidding. Just when Kyrie Irving was done with his flat earth stuff, here comes Steph Curry with his "we didn't land on the moon" thing. Man, you know what's funny about that though? Like, can I just, this is going to get misconstrued, so please forgive me. I can understand why people think we didn't go to the moon. Like, I can get it. Like, but I know that it happened, but I can get why they think that. Doesn't that seem impossible that we went, like, in the 60s, we went to the moon, landed, and returned? It seems incredible. So I get it. Like, maybe some people are like, man, that's crazy, because we haven't gone back. But they did. They went. I can't imagine, like, what a secret to keep for all of this time. Like, you can't keep a secret for 5 seconds in government. And yet the moon landing somehow lasted 50 years with people keeping their mouth shut.
And everyone just and, constantly buying into it.
Yeah, and not only that, but like Buzz Aldrin and Michael Collins and Neil Armstrong are like, they'd be more than happy to soak up all the fame and attention and money, like all the speaking engagements that they got, all the deals that they got, everything that kind of made them household names, appearing in parades all over the place. They had no problems doing any of this stuff, knowing it was all fake and a fraud. Like none of them had a guilty conscience. Nobody ever said, man, this we didn't actually go to the moon. What are we doing at this stupid parade?
Never on their
like,
deathbed.
Never on their deathbed going, man, you got to tell the world this was all fake. I can't live with myself. This is one of the biggest lies we've ever told as a society. I can't live with this anymore. Like none of them didn't like, nope, nah, they're just going to ride it into the sunset. Get out of here.
Now, I will bet $100 that Bruce Willis and gang did not land on an asteroid.
No, that was stupid.
I think yeah, they didn't. I think that one was fake.
And drilled and tried to drill into the asteroid to plant the nuclear bomb. Trained as astronauts.
I'm pretty sure that one may have been manufactured and done in a studio somewhere.
My favorite line from that is the Armageddon movie, the one that people always point out to. It goes, "Nah, that's such a that movie is so ill-conceived because it's so much easier to train astronauts to be oil drillers or drillers than it is to take drillers and make them astronauts."
I don't know, man. Drilling's a science.
I know it is a science. The way Bruce Willis was like, remember, he's like, man, you can't just throw a drill. You got to love it. Remember, he was giving the little speech
about
great.
I'm a third generation driller.
Yeah, drilled. Like, nothing I can drill.
I will make my depth.
Remember that? Remember, I will make 800 feet.
Meanwhile,
that movie, I saw that in the theater. It gave me a headache. Remember how much it was like spinning and everything?
Yeah, but I mean, you think about it, right? It's like he said he needs to get to 800 feet. He has about an hour left until zero barrier, and he's at 50 feet.
Right, exactly. And somebody's drilling.
I'm like, okay, is it possible? I mean, maybe, I don't know. Maybe we get to talk to a driller. If you're drilling in an unknown substance, is it possible to go 750 feet in an hour? save the world.
Steve Buscemi was great in that movie. There was one moment where he goes, we're not even supposed to be up here.
Steve Buscemi was all of us.
I know,
movie.
Right?
I mean, if we were stranded on some asteroid, I'm picking a rocket. I'm like getting a good scene. I'm like, yep, I'm ready to go. Just fire me down there right now.
Yeah, exactly. Harry! Oh, Armageddon. What was the other one? Deep Impact? How did they blow that rock up? I forgot that movie.
They did it. They did. The spaceship flew into it.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's the one with Robert Duvall as the old timer.
Yeah,
he was with a bunch of young guys. And
they were trying to, they went to Mars or something, like near Mars to try to head it off. And everything they tried to do failed. So the only thing they could think of was, hey, there's six of us. Let's just drive this big rocket with a nuclear bomb right into the heart of it.
Yeah, we can't. Yeah, I remember now. They said we can't do anything about the little one, but we can get the big one. And the little one landed. And
we get the Atlantic Ocean.
Atlantic Ocean. You know, and that's how Taya Leone died. She was with on the beach with her dad.
With her dad.
Maximilian Schnell, I think, is his name.
I just hope it was instant. Because, how much would that suck?
No, man.
You're just rolling around in water.
Yeah. That was a big, big ocean of water that was ready to pound on them when they were on the beach.
Was that Elijah Wood that was in it?
Yep, Elijah Wood. He was the one that found the report. He was told by his classmate he was going to get a lot of sex because he was famous. Remember that at the press conference or at the school assembly?
He probably did. He went back.
They said, you're going to have a lot of sex now because you're famous. Remember that?
He went back.
Made all the kids uncomfortable. Yeah, it did. Yep.
Was that Lili Sobieski?
Yep, that's right. He went back on a bike and everybody else was trapped and they couldn't drive their cars anymore, but he had a motorbike.
And he outran it.
And he outran the waters, and Morgan Freeman came out. Remember Morgan Freeman had the, what do you know about LA? And she was like, well, I don't, she don't know anything. And they had to give the speech about going into the caves. Those disaster movies, those disaster movies made me think, like, at the time it was like late 90s. And I remember thinking, yeah, this is going to happen in my lifetime. Like, one day the president is going to come on TV and go, we built a series of caves that'll house our best people.
You ever think that way? Like, the other night, it's been clear here in Houston. It's been cold, but it's been really, really clear. And I was outside the other night. I'm looking up. I'm like, man, that is a bright star. It's on my way in, heading into work. And I'm going to assume it's Venus.
Okay. Right.
But it was really, really bright. And I'm just like, man, what if that was, you know, an asteroid?
Yeah. By the way, let me ask this. That leads to this question, because we just talked about how, like, Curry doesn't believe in the moon landing. And I think that one of the evidences of it is that you can't keep a secret, right? You just couldn't keep a secret that long, right? Like, there's so many people involved. With everyone's got a telescope, like, a lot of people have telescopes. There's a lot of planetariums around the country. There's a lot of planetariums around the world that look at the skies. Let's say the governments of the world realized, hey, man, there's an asteroid coming and we don't need all the chaos that comes. Could they keep that a secret until the last second? Or do you think we would ever get somebody going, asteroid's going to hit us in 4.5 years. There's nothing we can do about it. We got to figure it out, but it's coming and there's nothing we can do. Or do you think they'd say, no, we don't need worldwide panic, right? Let's just keep it quiet.
That was the argument in Armageddon. They controlled 8 of the 9 telescopes.
That's right. They did. That's right. Armageddon and Deep Impact. Wow.
Now, back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
This is the one thing, for all the criticism of the NFL, the one thing it does have that a lot of Major League Baseball struggles with sometimes, even with the NBA, when everybody gets in the playoffs, is that you've got a lot of these teams that it feels like you're out, right? It doesn't feel like your season's going well, but man, if you're just hovering around 500, you might actually have a chance in this if all the football gods were to somehow line up properly for you. Jonathan Adams joins us from Heavy.com to go over the NFL playoff picture. How are you, Jonathan?
Good. How you guys doing?
How difficult is it, like, when somebody were to come to you and say, man, how about them Giants? How do they get into the playoffs? And you have to give them, like, 15 steps on how the Giants get into the playoffs.
Yeah, it's crazy. Then you get to, like, the final steps, and it's like, pick 3 Twizzlers, and if you get the red one, you get to go in. Like, once you go through all the steps, it's, like, pretty crazy.
As far as this, when you look at the AFC, it's really coming down to who's going to win the North and basically the 6th wild card seed. But of the teams that are 7-6, the Baltimore Ravens, the Indianapolis Colts, Miami, Tennessee, is there a team you like, or it just sets up better for them to try to make that push to get that 6th position?
Well, I think the Colts are playing well, but I do worry about their matchup with the Cowboys this week. I think Miami and Tennessee are 2 teams that could come up there and snag it. But I do think the Ravens kind of hold on to it. But it's one of those things where you look at the Ravens' record, and they could end up with, you know, maybe 9-7, depending on where they're at. And you have a team like the Chargers who could end up with the 2nd-best record, but they'll be playing on the road that opening weekend just because of the way the current structure is.
With the Pittsburgh Steelers at 7-5-1, losing 3 in a row, and that loss to Oakland is hurting, if they were to fall down this weekend, losing to the Patriots, and the Ravens were to take over that division lead, where do the Steelers stand amongst the Colts and the Dolphins in Tennessee in terms of one of those other teams that's fighting for that 6th spot?
Yeah, you know, they've lost 3 straight. You look at it, if they drop this game this weekend, that'll be 4 straight games. Then they're in 7-6-1. And they're in that same conversation with the Colts, the Dolphins, the Titans, those teams we just mentioned. So it's kind of crazy. The midway point, we're kind of looking at the Steelers as one of those teams that had a chance to potentially get a bye with that 2nd seed, and now they're in danger of not even making the playoffs.
The Broncos at 6-7, bad loss for them against San Francisco. They're 6-7, but is that reversible, meaning a couple teams lose, and they can get back into this, or did they really get hurt by that loss to the Niners?
Yeah, it hurts them because now they're going to need to win out and get some help. But they're definitely still in it. I mean, you're looking at that last. The Ravens right now have the 6th seed and they're 7-6. So, you know, you don't have to be a world beater to end up in the playoffs or those final seeds. But they're definitely going to need some help, and they're going to need to win all their games.
Of the in terms of the NFC, last night I was surprised a little bit last night, you know, not really knowing all the standings, how it plays. I was a little surprised that Minnesota losing didn't drop them out of the sixth spot. But here's Carolina struggling, Philadelphia coming off the loss of the Cowboys. The Redskins don't have anything going on. They're all 6-7, and they're all a half a game behind the Vikings for that final spot.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. I was doing the updates last night right after the Seahawks-Vikings game, and like yourself, I was kind of thinking, okay, who's going to get that 6 seed now at the Vikings? And I looked, and like, oh, the next team there is the Panthers at 6-7. So, you know, the Panthers could get back in it if they can somehow shock the Saints. I know they're on a little bit of a skid, but it only, as we saw this last weekend, if you can get one of those upsets, it could give you some momentum to close out these last 3 weeks of the season. But right now, the Vikings are just barely hanging on. They got problems on offense, could even score a point last night. They scored that late touchdown, but for the most part, were shut out. So they're definitely not a team that the Bears right now, who would face them, would fear. And so you're looking at the Panthers or Eagles, and potentially even the Redskins, without a quarterback getting into that 60 if the Vikings were to slip up once again.
Jonathan Adams joins us, heavy.com, on the NFL playoff picture. The Seahawks, if they get another win, they're in, right? Does that clinch a wild card spot for them if they get a victory anywhere down the rest of the way?
Yeah, it looks like the Seahawks and the Cowboys are actually on a collision course, which were the two of the teams that are playing their best football right now in the NFC, and they'd actually be scoring off of each other because the Cowboys get that automatic spot if they can hold on to the NFC East. So both teams are 8-5 right now, but because the Cowboys, you know, have a chance to win their division, they would host that game, even if the Seahawks end up with a better record. The highest the Seahawks could go, though, is that fifth seed because the Rams have already clinched the NFC West.
So it goes all the way down in terms of elimination. Like, the Lions at 5-8, I mean, again, we're talking real high probability. We're talking a lot of work that needs to be done. But even like a team like the Lions is still technically alive?
Yeah, it even has, if you look at the playoff picture, I guess the Falcons are not technically eliminated, even though they're 4-9, so there's a chance that the team, if I'm reading this correctly, the team with a losing record, if, like we said, I mean, it's not going to happen, but they'd have to have everyone lose and win out, but they're still technically in the picture, along with, you know, the Giants were left for dead a few weeks ago, and now you're looking and they're kind of in the picture, if they could go 8-8 and get a lot of help, you know, but when you're 60 right now, it's 6-6-1. I mean, the only reason the Vikings are holding on to that final spot is because of a tie, if you think about it. So probably didn't want to tie that game when it happened, but it's the only thing keeping them from being out of the playoffs right now.
It is a good thing for the league. Am I misinterpreting this? Because I think you allow more people to have the fun time. Look, like my father, for example, is a Giants fan, and he knows the Giants are going to make the playoffs. But it's still cool to be like, well, if all of these things were to take place, the team is still technically in it, rather than just giving up on the season this time in event. We're not getting excellence, but we're at least getting larger participation.
No, I think it's really cool. And I think, you know, you're also looking at, most of the time, when you're a fan of a team with losing record, you're kind of doing the math to try to figure out what draft pick you're going to get.
Right, so yeah, exactly.
It kind of gives you a little bit more. The only thing that I would like to see change, I do like the divisions, and I like the division winner gets a spot, but I don't think a team like the Chargers, if they have a better record, should have to go on the road and play a team just because they're in division. Because the Chargers, you know, they've had a harder schedule because they're playing with the Chiefs in that division, and now they're going to get penalized because, you know, they didn't technically win their division, but they're, I would say, a better team than, say, the Ravens or the Steelers. But if one of those teams, whoever wins that spot, they're going to end up on the road. So it's just a small tweak. I would like to see maybe the seeding be based on record rather than division, but still give those automatic berths to division winners.
Yeah, I'm with you, because one of the things Ron Culver and I have talked about on this show pretty much almost the whole season is, with so much attention on Kansas City and all the things Patrick Mahomes is doing and how much fun they are and everything like that, here are the LA Chargers, and they've pretty much kept up with them step by step throughout the whole season.
Yeah, and you guys, you might remember the Beastquake back in the day when the Seahawks hosted the Saints, and I think the Seahawks even had a losing record, and the Saints just had to play in a crazy environment, and the stadium was shaking after Marshawn Lynch ran over the entire Saints defense, and has become great videos off that we can't see on the air, but it's just one of those things where, you know, I feel like I'm cool with the divisions getting in. I think that adds a cool thing to win your division and get in the playoffs, but I just think you should be reseeded after everything is finalized on week 17.
Where do you think this league is going in terms of as we get closer to the to the postseason. Like, last night was yet another reminder. Sunday night was a reminder as well. Hey, look, defenses are not going away. If you've got a good defense, you're a threat to a really good offense. We've seen the offensive extreme this season. If you were a guy leaning towards a particular philosophy going into the postseason and what would work, do you go with the team like the Rams and the Saints and the Chiefs that are just putting up a ton of points? Or do you say, here's some real sleeper teams that that you really shouldn't ignore, like the Cowboys and the Bears, and even like maybe a Ravens team that could get in?
I like those teams, and we're kind of learning, you know, the NFL the last few years has been kind of a little bit reluctant to lean on offense, but it seems like this year we've really bought into this, kind of what college football fans have known the whole time, is that it's really fun to watch teams score points. And so we're seeing that this year. You know, you hear that Monday night game, I guess it was a month or two back. But I do like the Chiefs because they have that offense, but that team has played in cold weather, so it's not like when Patrick Mahomes and company, you know, it's 20 degrees and they're playing, they're going to be used to it, right? We saw the Rams really struggle this past weekend in a cold environment. Now, how much of that had to factor in? You know, Jared Goff's a California kid, you know, the Bay Area, so not like he's from Florida necessarily, but he's not used to that kind of Chicago weather. So it'll be interesting. That'll be a team that's interesting to watch to see whether it was just an off week or did that weather really play a factor in there. The good thing for the Rams is they have Todd Gurley, so if they can kind of restructure their offense on the fly and really lean on him more so than airing it out a lot, then that might be something to look at. I think the Saints are always tough, especially if they can hold on to that top seed, which they have right now in the tiebreaker. New Orleans is just such a difficult place to play. It's indoors, so we've seen what Brees and that offense can do, especially at home. So you're looking at the Saints would, if they can hold on to it, wouldn't have to leave New Orleans. And then you potentially, I mean, we're really thinking ahead here, but then play a Super Bowl indoors in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So that's a team that could really, if you're looking at maybe grabbing some of the odds to win the Super Bowl early, the Saints might be a team to look at there, just based on their past.
Heavy.com is the website. Jonathan Adams, our guest on SB Nation Radio, talking NFL playoff picture. Great stuff, Jonathan. Hope to get you on again soon. That was nice. Fun.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate
you got it. Jonathan Adams joining us to talk NFL playoff picture. Yes, I know it's crazy, but the New York Giants do have a chance to make the playoffs. It's weird, but they do have a chance. And it's, they need a lot of help. I mean, they need, you know, look, they're 5-8. There is a narrow path for them to get in, but they could get in. Now, I did this years ago with the Browns of all teams when there was a whole list of things the Browns needed, and it's kind of fun. But the Seahawks, you know, took that right step for them by beating the Vikings last night. And now the Giants have to beat the Titans. The Giants obviously have to win out, but they also need the Eagles to lose twice. They need Carolina to lose twice. I think they need the Packers to lose once, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, there's a huge list of things that they need to happen to take place. But it's kind of fun when you're still, like I mentioned earlier, like my father is a Giants fan and he used to kind of do this back in the day when the Giants would have these mediocre seasons, but you'd still know, you know, hey, what the playoff picture's like. I know I've done it. Ron, you've done it. I mean, we've all gone through that playoff scenario. And it is kind of neat because it keeps you interested when even when 99% of your brain is saying this will never happen, there's just always that 1%, like you kind of joked, we still have a chance.
Yes, I'm still holding out for the Browns.
Yeah. So it's just, but it's, and it's also neat because if you know, if you got it, like let's say you're a Giants fan and they started 1-7 and somehow the football gods smiled on them and they were able to pull this off, right? They were able to make this happen. All of a sudden you go, wait a minute, this is really cool. Like what a season this was, 1-7. Even if they losing a trounce in the first round, I don't think that would matter one bit. The idea that they turned a season around and let it play out and made it to the playoffs, even if they lost, would still be a memorable season, especially if you start 1-7. It's pretty wild.
Well, and the good thing about the Giants this year too is that, I mean, at the beginning of the season, especially when they were in that 1-7 start, everyone was going, see, they should have had a quarterback. They should have had a quarterback. Should have had a quarterback. That was all you ever heard. Lately, as of recently, you're seeing like, my God, you know, Saquon Barkley really is the real deal. And I'm a believer. I think this is.
I think it's the right pick.
Like, this is the right pick.
Yeah,
he's right arguably going to be the namesake out of this draft. You know, bigger than any of the quarterbacks that were there. I think we're going to be talking about Saquon Barkley a lot more often than Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, and definitely more than Josh Allen or Josh Rosen.
And a couple of games. I mean, like just a couple of games. They had the lead against the Eagles and they blew it. You know, that if they had held on, that would have been a 5-game win streak. There were a couple of games, I mean, that they looked awful in, but then there were a couple of games that were close.
A couple that Eli Manning didn't even show up to.
Yeah, right, exactly. But, you know, the Falcons game was a 3-point game and whatnot. They lost to the Redskins by 7. But, you know, to have your running back, I mean, to have your running back in place. And, you know, this has been pointed out. Look, there's this idea that running backs grow on trees and you can just grab anybody. Look, James Conner came from Pitt, but he wasn't. There is a little bit of truth to that. But when you look at Ezekiel Elliott, first round pick, Todd Gurley, first round pick, Saquon Barkley, first round, I mean, Philip Lindsay is out of there, but Christian McCaffrey, first round pick. These are four of your top five leading rushers. It isn't a list of running backs we never heard of that played for Western Illinois State.
Right, but it's not only that. It's not that just they're leading rushers, but they're also all the running backs you mentioned are great pass catchers.
Yeah, great pass catchers.
And that's
exactly
what you're looking for in a running back now. It's just I need that little dump off pass. It's like a 3-yard pass, just to get 3 yards maybe, and that maybe turn into 5 yards or whatever it might be. And that's what all those running backs have in common is that they all can catch.
Yep, exactly. So, all right, it's SB Nation Radio as we roll along on SB Nation AM. It's Tony D and Ron Culver. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio. You can follow Ron at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's, by the way, on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks to Jonathan Adams, Heavy.com, on the playoff talk of the NFL. Any word on our Ice Cube interview being rescheduled?
No, not yet.
Oh, don't let us down, Cube. Let's get back on. Something's Corrupt is the name of the album.
Yeah, we're still plugging them. We're still doing
Ice
what we
Cube
can. We're doing
air.
Our part, Cube.
We're doing our part, Cube. Come on.
Tony, Steelers, lay down for your Raiders.
I know. God, that would have been great.
We're doing our part.
Oh, I was totally ready to tell him, hey, be prepared for a Raiders win on Sunday. And he might have even said, no.
He definitely would have agreed.
And I would have said, nope, trust me.
No way.
Trust me on this. And you were right. I think you were the one that told me, had we did that last week, and he was watching that game, he'd been like, man, I talked to some guy that told me the Steelers were going to win.
Yeah.
I can't remember which interview it was, but there was a guy that was adamant that the Steelers were going to lose this game.
And then you would have sat there watching that game going, you know what? The only good thing is Cube thought of me.
That's right. That's right.
That would have eased that pain a little bit.
That's right. I was going to ask him about Friday, how that movie just keeps holding up all these years. Isn't that funny? What a good movie that was. I think I might watch it this afternoon.
I think you should.
SB Nation AM.